I was reminded at New Wine, which is where I've been, which is a Christian festival last week, I was reminded at New Wine that Jesus talks more than anything else about the kingdom of God. More than anything else, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. The second thing that he talks about after the kingdom of God is money. And here in this very short parable, we have Jesus talking about the kingdom of God and money. 30 seconds with the person next to you, if you're happy to do this. If not, just sort of look away. And do not engage anybody's eyes, and we'll all understand, that'd be fine. I get it. If you don't want to have a chat with the person next to you, that's absolutely fine. But 30 seconds, why do you think Jesus talks about money so much, and particularly in this context? 30 seconds with the person next to you. Okay, this is a very serious topic, and there's kind of like laughter going on and sort of merriment. I mean, this is incredibly serious stuff, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. So anybody sort of happy to put their hand up and give us their thoughts or the thoughts of the people around them as to why the kingdom of God and money, and particularly why money is spoken of so much by Jesus in his Gospels? Yes, Pat. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like today.
Yep, absolutely. So actually, even though some of the poorest of his time were the most generous, and we can see that reflected in society today. Yeah, brilliant, fantastic. Anybody, any other comment on why does Jesus speak so much about money? Oh, Andy, we've heard from you.
Money equals power.
Absolutely. Money equals power. Yes. Kirsty. Wow. Brilliant, Hannah. How old are you, Hannah? Six. Hannah's six. People with money are popular. Absolutely. Well observed. How brilliantly observed, Hannah, for a six-year-old. Fantastic. You can come up here and work with me on the next sermon. Brilliant. From one age range to the other, at the back. Absolutely. So there's some real acknowledgement. We have to, you know, we have to be real. We need money, don't we? We absolutely need money. But what's interesting is that, and what Jesus is saying, I feel, is that money can become an idol. Money can become an idol. We can elevate money above God. And the reason why Jesus talks about money more than any other potential idol is because it's the easiest thing to become an idol in our lives. And we think, you know, we might think of idols as some kind of shrine worshipping some other god, but actually that is too narrow and too tight a definition of what an idol is. So I'll just give you this as an idea as what could be idols, including money, in our lives if we depend upon it more than God. If it defines us more than our relationship with God, if it defines us more than our relationship than God, and if we desire it more than God. And I think on one level, on a sort of churchy Christian level, we can say, oh no. But then on a very practical level, on a very real level, on a day-to-day how we spend our money level, on a day-to-day, how different are we from our other people that do not believe in God, do not follow Jesus Christ? How different are we with our money? Actually, to other people, does it look like we depend upon money more than we depend upon God? Does it look like that we're defined by money more than we're defined by God? Does it look like we desire money more than we desire God and a relationship with him? And the thing about idols, including money, is actually in and of themselves, as Francis said, they are mostly good things. It's when we elevate them above God. So I wonder if anybody could, if we could think, and I won't ask you to discuss this with the person next to you, but just sort of 10 seconds, What other potential idols are there? And rather than be abstract and start thinking about the world and all its idols, let's be honest and let's look at ourselves and think about the idols that we may have in our lives, the things that actually define us, possibly more than God defines us, the things that we desire more than we desire God. What are the things? Just quietly, prayerfully think about that for a moment. So I wonder which ones of these resonate with you. Sex, alcohol, food, our health, our body image, the number of likes we get on Facebook, our work, our reputation, our retirement or our plans for our retirement, our home and the stuff that we have, our families, and then one of the people that spoke at New Wine came up with one that actually really resonated kind of with me. And I don't think that we'd see it as an idol. And it was a bit of a hard teaching, but he said, our children and their future. Obviously, good things, but if we elevate them and their futures above God, are they idols? And then he went on to say, an even harder teaching, can the things that we don't have become our idols? Can they be the things that we are defined by more than we're defined by God and our relationship with him? Not having the job we want, not being in a relationship that we'd want, not having children, not being in good health, not being as popular as others, not being as good a preacher as others. Jesus says these things not because he is being a legalist. It's because he knows human nature. When other things become our idols, we lose sight of the kingdom of God. It's not because Jesus is saying, because you are rich, I am going to make it hard for you. It's not that way around. It's because Jesus recognizes that when we allow other things to become our idols, we lose sight of God and his kingdom. There is a tradition, a way of thinking, that has a phrase that says, Jesus is the needle of God. More specifically, Jesus is the eye of the needle of God. That to get through God, to God, we must go through Jesus. And in our post-communion prayer that we'll pray at the end of this service, we read these words. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Through him we offer ourselves. Through all that he has done, not through anything else, not through the money that we might have or might not have, not through our health that we might have or not have, but through him. So the big question, and this is to sort of leave you with and to leave you thinking about, and I'll give you one answer, but I think it's a complicated question and therefore is a complicated, requires a more thought through answer. How do we avoid creating idols? How do we avoid creating things that we depend on more than God, that defines us more than God, that we desire more than God? And I think that's actually, in reality, an ongoing struggle and part of the Christian journey. It's not you sort it out now and you go on living a Christian life and you have it sorted forever. It's something that actually we day to day need to look at. Because if I'm honest, the not being a better preacher than other preachers is something that resonates. In fact, one thing that really grounded me at New Wine, there was a member of our church family took it upon himself to have this brilliant joke that he played throughout the whole week. And actually, you know, it was so liberating. I'll explain it to you. I hope the person doesn't mind. The previous incumbent, Jonathan Trivett, the previous incumbent to Jonathan was Chris Tebbutt. And this person would just bring forward the name of Chris Tebbutt as a living legend. In the context of a very jokey way, and it was great because actually it just opened a bit of a window to the reality of actually when I first came here and continuing on into the future, I am mindful of how good previous incumbents would do. So let me just give you an example. We had our nephews staying with us, and I was holding our little youngest nephew, not nephew, niece, Autumn, and the person said, "Oh, Chris Tebbutt was so good with children. He was like Jesus with children." I had some really nice chocolate, and I offered some chocolate around, but I only gave everybody like one strip each. And Chris Tebbutt would have given us two. And actually, it was brilliant because I just laughed my pants off at it. But it was utterly disarming because actually it acknowledged a little bit of truth. And don't we do that in our workplace? As a teacher, we might look at the head of department and think they're such a good teacher. And actually, that can occupy our mind. That can be an idol for us, how good they are compared to how good we are, we think we are, and what have you. And these things... So thank you to that person. But how do we avoid creating idols, even the idols of our own worth, compared to others? One answer, it was the answer that was sung in the previous song that we just sung, was to routinely ensure that you and I remember and give thanks for all that Christ has done for us. To come back to the foot of the cross. And that's what we do when we come to communion. We come back to give thanks for all that Christ has done for us.